lasers for stun and prepare for warp speed. It's time for the We Got the Geeks movie talk.
You're not really my dad, are you?
No, I'm not. I work on Wall Street, you know, with the big buildings. And I live in an apartment with a doorman, and I can buy almost anything I want. This isn't my life. It's just a glimpse.
Where's my real dad?
I don't know. But don't worry. He loves you, and I'm sure he'll be back very soon.
They did a pretty good job.
Who did?
The aliens in the mothership. He looks just like him.
Thanks. Slightly better looking, though, right? Oh no, you're not gonna start crying, are you? I don't think I could really deal with that right now.
Do you like kids?
On a case-by-case basis.
Do you know how to make chocolate milk?
I think I could figure it out.
Promise you won't kidnap me in my bottle and plant stuff in our brains?
Sure.
Welcome to Earth.
All right, everybody. It's time to put the bunny back in the box. It's Jay, Stu, and Ryan coming to you for another edition of Cage Match.
Oh, yeah. Second one now.
Second one, yeah. And this time, joining us, our first guest for the segment.
Cage Match, yeah.
We have our old friend Hunter. And how you doing, man?
I would be doing better if you guys had chosen different Nicolas Cage movies. But in the festive spirit, I understand the choices.
And once again, we're coming to you from Ryan's house.
Yes. Studio number two.
Studio number
secret
two.
Secret undisclosed location.
Yeah. Jay just ruined it. He already said my house.
Well, I didn't get the exact address out.
Yeah, true.
So last time we were doing the cage match, we started off with Con Air and The Rock.
Which I think was a very good start to our cage match.
Yeah, in fact, when I asked Hunter if he wanted to be on, he goes, what movies have you done already? Oh, Con Air and The Rock. Oh, his only two good movies.
Thinking about it, he's got a couple more, but wow, you guys dropped fast. Like, that de-escalated quickly.
But I'm trying to think, like, for Christmas time, I don't know of any other Christmas movies for Nicolas Cage. So I'm like, these are like, hey, why not? Trapped in Paradise, Family Man.
Yeah.
No, they fit the time of season. They don't fit the qualifications for being a movie. Or, well, he's Trapped in Paradise. Family Man is not bad. Like, Family Man's not bad.
So since we last did the show, I found out that Nicolas Cage had been up for one of the leads in Dumb and Dumber.
For when they initially...
Before Jim Carrey, before Jeff Daniels, the two guys that were in contention were Nicolas Cage and Gary Oldman, of all people.
Wow.
I want to see this alternate universe. Can Don Cheadle show up and, like, show me the alternate universe where Gary Oldman and Nick Cage play Dumb and Dumb? Like, I will pay to see that movie.
Gary Oldman, I mean, he's a chameleon when he acts. Like, I mean, he can do the roles, but just seeing him now, I don't know if... Especially Nicolas Cage. I could never see him the role of, like, Jim Carrey's character. Like, wow. It's interesting to find out who other people would have gone out for the parts.
Yeah. Isn't that bizarre? And I got to get Hunter's take on this. I know we touched upon it a little bit on the last show, but you obviously knew Nick Cage was supposed to play Superman at one point.
Uh-huh. Yep. the hoboist of all Superman.
Yeah. You saw, I'm guessing you've seen the pictures of him in the suit with the long hair and everything.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, he's very, like he went, like, hobo to meth addict, like, just looking at, like, the greasy, long fucking hair and this glowing, like, neon translucent Superman metallic suit. Like, yeah.
Now, I guess there's a documentary coming out soon about why that movie failed.
Well, Kevin Smith's gone over it in, like, a night with Kevin or Smith or whatever, where Richard Donner or whatever wanted Spider-Man... a giant fucking spider. for the climax. Like, he wants Superman to fight a giant fucking spider.
And didn't want him in the costume.
Yeah, can't be in the costume.
Didn't want to show him flying either, I guess.
Which like is all what Superman is.
Yeah, all the things costume. Superman's known for, right?
Yep.
But he isn't known for fighting a spider, so that would have been interesting.
Yeah, like, it would have been different. Like, and God bless Kevin Smith. He's like, okay, I mean, I can try, like, Brainiac will have, like, a metallic spider body. And the whole thing, apparently, like, he was like, all right, I gotta fucking write this thing. And, sorry, cursing. Oh, man. And he tried. And they're like, nope, still not good enough. And
then they fired Kevin Smith when they brought Tim Burton in. And then...
Well, yeah. Let's be fair. Nothing Tim Burton has touched in the last, like, 20 years has been good. So, including Helena Bonham Carter.
Hey! Oh,
yeah.
Good times. Okay. Yeah.
Now, do you have a favorite Nick Cage movie?
I like The Rock a lot.
That's a great one.
I also do have a fondness for Face Off.
Oh, that's a great one, too.
Yeah, we brought that up when we were talking about some of the movies you want to review.
Because I like John Travolta and the Nick Cage. It let Nick Cage do both modes of his switch. He's only ever in two modes. This somber deadpan or over-the-top sociopath.
What are you talking about? No.
Those are the only two acting modes he has. And so he gets to flip that switch in that movie and okay. Do both.
Well, we'll probably maybe have you on for that one, because that is one of the movies we did bring up that we want to review.
That's a fantastic movie.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Then one of the movies that I want to subject you guys to that I don't want to be here for is City of Angels.
Oh, I've seen that one.
Oh, right. Okay.
I saw that Meg Ryan movie.
So it's like a drama.
Have you seen that one?
I've not seen that. That's the one where he's a fallen angel.
Yeah.
And he loses his memory or something like that.
And there's a lovely Atlantis song in it.
Okay.
And the Goo Goo Dolls.
And the Goo Goo Dolls. That was Iris.
The summer of that Goo Goo Dolls song. Yeah. Now, he's done some good movies. He's done a lot of garbage.
Well, we were talking about it. He used to be a lot more choosy with his movies. And now he owes the IRS.
Apparently he has a lot of debt.
Yes. Yes.
But, I mean, Gone in 60 Seconds is a good one. Apparently, the very first National Treasure is not bad.
I like both of them.
I actually did like both of them. Sorcerer's Apprentice, the newer one that he...
Never saw that.
It's not too bad. He did pretty decent in that one.
It's one of the few good movies he's done in the last 10 years.
But you get, like, The Wicker Man.
Oh,
and there's Bangkok Serious. I think that's the other one.
Yeah.
Wicker Man is the one where I started to seriously think about his acting.
Yeah.
No, not the bees.
Not the bees. Not the bees.
And then there was the one. I forget the name of it, but the apocalypse was coming, and he had to stop it.
Yeah, I'm pulling up
the Knowing.
That might be it.
The Knowing.
He wasn't Kick-Ass though.
So sorry, Bangkok Dangerous was the other one where you played.
Oh yeah, he was Big Daddy or whatever it was in.
Kick-Ass.
Yeah, I mean, that was a fine movie.
No, he's actually acted in quite a few movies, actually. Like,
just a lot of the more recent ones. I haven't even seen a lot of
them. The first role, it shows Fast Time at Ridgemont High that it's showing recorded.
Oh, Ghost Rider's one that you guys are going to have to
read. No. I mean, yeah. I guess we have to.
You have to.
I'm not watching Ghost Rider 2 again, though. I'm just throwing that out there.
But apparently, though, it's funny you guys brought up National Treasure. They're doing, apparently announced National Treasure 3.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I actually like that as a series.
I didn't mind it. The first one was great. I don't remember the second one. I know I've seen it.
Oh, Snake Eyes.
That's a good one, too. That wasn't too like bad.
Leaving Las Vegas.
That's the one
where he's dying, right?
He won an Oscar for that one.
Apparently, he was in Moonstruck. I don't remember that. Oh, wow.
He was.
There's 8mm, which was brought up.
Oh, that's a creepy-ass movie. With Joaquin Phoenix.
Kiss of Death. I don't remember that one. That was back in 95.
That one was with Samuel L. Jackson and David Caruso. And
Guarding Tess.
Never seen that one.
He's the bodyguard. I thought he was like Secret Service and he was guarding the president's mother or something like that. I thought that was the premise of that one.
I missed
it. Well, it says a former... So she was a former first lady.
Oh, okay.
And she wanted a particular Secret Service agent.
Right, okay. I enjoyed him in It Could Happen to You, the lottery ticket one.
That's one where he says he was going to share with the waitress.
Yeah, like he's the cop that he's like, okay, I don't have enough money to tip you, but here's my lottery ticket. If I win, I'm going to split it with you 50-50. And he hits the jackpot.
So our cage match is going to be pretty busy for the rest of the year and next year.
Yeah. We'll figure some out.
I look forward to your Ghost Rider City of Angels review.
You want to pair those two?
Ghost yeah, Rider? I want, because of this pairing on. Specifically, I want you guys to do City of Angels and Ghost Rider together.
Can't we just do one at, like,
no. Pair? No.
Then you're going to have to sit with us then. You suggested it, sir. Yeah, so.
You know what? I don't think I made it all the way through the first Ghost Rider.
Nobody did. Not even Nicolas Cage.
Oh, boy. I think David Letterman once said that that was his favorite Nicolas Cage movie.
Oh, when he was serious?
Yeah.
Nick, David Letterman, there's a reason he's retiring.
That's hilarious. Good God.
Well, unfortunately, like I said, if I could choose any other Nicolas Cage Christmas movies, I mean, these were the only two I came up with, so... And like you said, Family Man was not that bad. It didn't have the sidekick cast that was horrible. Like...
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's
no, it was a very solid story. Like, I mean... If you want to start... I mean, we can start with the Family Man. Family Man's a good one. We can get into
traffic. Let's hold that thought, and we'll be back after this message for... This edition of Cage Match.
And now, a word from our sponsors.
Sketchbook Comics and Games is a store that has something awesome for everyone. In addition to selling comics, board games, and action figures, there are tables for open gaming. Wednesday nights, Sketchbook features game night starting at 6 p.m. Friday through Sunday, Sketchbook is the place to be for Magic the Gathering. The store is located at 224 Glenridge Avenue, Unit 9 in St. Catharines. Come on down for all your geek and comic book needs.
All right, we're back. And we're here with Ryan and Hunter.
Hello.
And I guess we'll start off with The Family Man. And by the way, like Ryan said, we picked these movies because Christmas was involved in them. It's the Christmas season. And I remembered Family Man. I'd seen it in the theater in 2000 when it came out.
You actually went to the theater?
I did. Wow. Didn't remember a thing about it. So it was interesting watching it last night. Came out in 2000. Brett Ratner was the director of this.
Yep.
Wasn't he the guy that ruined the X-Men movies?
He sure was.
So Nick Cage plays a guy named Jack Campbell. Big, rich guy.
Well, he's a broker.
Broker, yeah.
Like very well.
Yeah.
Gets the ladies. He's
about to make the deal of a lifetime. But he needs to make it on Christmas Day.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah, pretty much.
So the movie starts out in 1987. He's saying goodbye to his girlfriend at the airport, Taya Leone.
Mm-hmm. I will say this. Taya Leone is hot in this movie.
Like, yes.
Yes.
Like, as mom at home, like, even then, I'm like, okay, Taya Leone, we got something going on here. That's okay.
Yeah, the scene where they're playing Chris Isaac in the background, I'm not going to lie, that was nice.
Yeah.
Well, you're sort of jumping ahead.
I'm jumping ahead.
Sorry, I got distracted by
Taya Leone being hot.
I'm just thinking of the shower scene. Oh, okay.
Oh, yes. Back, shower scene.
But, okay. So War Machine shows up and offers Ghost Rider.
Don Cheadle, I have to admit, like, we got to definitely do something with Don Cheadle, but that was funny. I totally forgot. I seen the movie, not in theater, but when it first came on, like, VHS.
Yeah.
That's a while ago.
So just seeing him, I totally forgot that he played multiple roles. Like, same character, but just different... Yeah. I don't know how you would say it, but just different roles. So I thought he did a good job. I mean, one of the problems I have with the Nicolas Cage roles, like, why is he getting eggnog, like, that day? Like, he just goes into a corner store. Like, all of a sudden, eggnog. Like...
He's rich. He doesn't have to.
But I mean, I don't know. Like, doesn't his whole, like, his... apartment have, like, concierge service if he was rich? Like,
probably not.
That.
Plus, if you've got a Mercedes, you want to fucking trail off your Mercedes, so I'm going for eggnog just so I can drive my Mercedes.
Yeah. Oh, he was walking home at that point, though.
No, I know.
For no reason.
Yeah. Well, like you said, it started off with him, like, the 87 initials or goodbyes. with Leone and his character, right? And
yeah.
Then just fast forwards, like, I think it was 13 years yeah. later, showing that he's, like, that investment banker, big deal.
Yeah, the, like, singing to himself in his underwear. Yeah. And as only crazy Nick Cage can do, because, again, two modes, crazy and somber.
Hitting on old ladies in the elevator.
Yeah, that was funny. Well, not to mention, remember the one girl that left...
Oh, right.
His apartment. Can't find what her name was.
It doesn't matter because he doesn't matter. Remember.
Yeah.
Nick Cage is scared. He doesn't remember. Doesn't matter, why yeah. should you?
That's true. That's true. But so, yeah.
Well, you gotta figure that's when he ran in. So, the premise, obviously, is he sort of gets a glimpse of what his life could have
been. Yeah, it's the idea is that he starts thinking about Taya Leone's character because
she had left a voicemail
with his office. He doesn't know what it's about or anything like that, but it gets him thinking about what could have been, what would have happened if I stayed with her. And which in and of itself is a good premise. It was a good premise when this movie was called Mr. Destiny and it had Jim Belushi.
That's right.
And Michael Caine.
I remember that one.
Oh my god, yes, I remember that one.
So this is that movie in reverse. We're going to start off by saying that. This movie is Mr. Destiny in reverse, because Mr. Destiny is Jim Belushi as the dad, husband at the crap job that wants to be the rich guy.
Yeah.
And this is just the opposite of that, so.
Wow, I haven't thought of that movie in years. Holy crap. So Don Cheadle shows up, crazy, wielding.
As Don Cheadle should.
Wielding
in any
a gun.
Situation.
Yeah.
It was part of Hollywood Studios' love of the magical black man of that era, because you had like your like Legend of Bagger Vance.
That's
and
right.
You had like your The Green Mile.
Was those like, all around the same time?
This was all around the same time frame. Like these movies were all made within a couple years of each other, I'm sure. But, like, Hollywood loved the idea of, like, this, like, yeah, magical black man.
Wow.
Well, it's just funny, like, Don Cheadle's character coming in is like, yeah, I want to collect my lotto ticket, $200 or whatever. And like, the store owner is like, nope, not going to help you.
Yeah.
And which I still don't understand.
That guy deserves to get robbed. Like,
and then his character pulls out a gun, and then shit gets real.
And the store owner was from Lost.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. Ken Leung. He was one of the scientists from the later seasons.
Okay.
Yeah.
He was the guy who could talk to dead people.
That's right. Oh, okay. Thank you.
Miles.
Yeah.
Well, then you have Nicolas Cage's character in all common, like, hey, man, you don't have to, like...
Hey, man, I've got so much money, I can just pay, like... Man, if somebody walks in and they're willing to rob a convenience store and you're like, but I have all this money. Like, do you not just think that they're just going to turn the gun on you and go, you know what?
Just give me
I think
money.
I want all of it. I don't just want my lottery tickets worth of money. I have a gun and I'm insane.
So I think that's what started it. And then he walks out. John Cheadle takes his eggnog. What the hell is up with that?
Just drinking it. He's a war machine. He can do anything he wants.
And then I guess they go their separate ways, and then, like you said, Nicolas Cage strips down to his underwear, goes to bed, and then wakes up with kids jumping on the bed.
Every man's nightmare.
You know what? That probably would have been my reaction, too, when he woke up and took off.
Oh, yeah! Like, you get out, like, what the hell? Like, nope. All kinds of nope. I'm out. Like...
Well, you gotta figure Tialoni's character was all over him, like, just sleeping. And then how quick he put his jogging pants on. Like, still not saying anything. Just going, like inside you know he's saying, what the fuck? Like,
oh, yeah. Oh, my God. I got roofied. What was in that eggnog? Like, oh, yeah.
And just the fact that he goes to his, like, what he thought was his home.
Yeah.
And the doorman and that being, like, who's this crazy man? Like,
oh yeah, especially if you show up in house pants and like,
and a minivan. Like,
yeah,
that asshole Tony the doorman.
No, Tony the doorman was doing his job. Don't get mad at Tony.
All right,
it's not his fault. The universe changed.
and you got to figure from there. He then went to his office, and that just.
Oh yeah.
Because then you got to figure the what's his name? Saul
Rubinek.
Yes. who's actually a very good actor.
Oh, I've seen him in some good stuff.
Yeah.
He did a good recurring role on Frasier.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah. He also did some stints on, like, he had, like, a role on Star Trek.
I think Warehouse 13.
Warehouse 13 was good.
The first time I ever saw him was in that Clint Eastwood movie, The Unforgiven.
Okay.
Which was a pretty kick-ass movie. Yeah, he's a good actor.
Yeah, no, he's actually been in quite a few stuff, too. Like, actually going back quite
a few years. He's been in a lot.
Was he in Stargate at one point?
Yes, he was. He was the filmmaker.
Thank you.
On the two-part episode where Dr. Frasier died.
Thank you. Okay. Yeah. Cool.
Holy shit, I would not have remembered that, Hunter. Holy crap.
And that was without IMDb.
Yeah. So there, Ryan, you and your info.
So there.
So he wakes up on Christmas morning, hence the Christmas theme of the show.
Yes. Not Easter morning. No. We're keeping this on theme. Yeah. No, you wake up Christmas and the person that you were thinking about just turns to you with a bunch of kids jumping up and down on your bed going, I need coffee now. Yeah, I'd get the hell out of there too.
Yeah. But then Cheadle shows up again.
In his car, in his Mercedes.
Playing his music.
Car.
Yeah.
Yep.
Explains kind of, sort of, what happened.
It was the vague enough, like, oh, well, I need you to learn a lesson. What lesson is that? And the audience going, because you suck. Like, it's one of those, like, the audience knows what the whole ending to this movie is going to be, like, as soon as this premise is introduced. I don't know.
I laugh, though, at the part where Cheadle says, let's just go for a walk and I'll explain everything to you. And then he just takes off on him. A crazy Iron Patriot.
Well, you got to figure then. Obviously, like you said, we kind of, well, most people would have a clue of what's going to happen at the end. But, I mean, that's what you see, the premise of him getting to know the family, the kids, and the daughter.
The saying, daughter like, being, you're like, not my dad. The creepy, like, Shining-esque, like, kid, like... I see through the walls of this reality bending.
See, that reminded me of Quantum Leap, because kids could see him as who he himself. Was. Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, getting back to creepy, if you look up the little girl on IMDb, she grew up to be hot.
Is that Mackenzie Vega?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
She was in X-Men 3.
Was she?
Yep. She plays the little girl that Mystique turns into when she's in the trailer. When she's trying to convince the guards to let her go.
Oh, she's the younger sister. Okay, so Alexa Vega. So she's the one that started, in, like, she was Lava Girl or something like
that. Oh, that's her sister.
Yeah, her sister was.
Oh, her sister's hot now,
she's too. Like Tomorrow People. She played in the Tomorrow People, the sister. Okay. Yeah. It's weird seeing kids, like, stuff that you grew up watching the movie, seeing what they are, and then seeing what they are now. Mm-hmm. Especially if they're still in the acting biz.
Dakota
like,
Fanning?
Yeah, as another one.
I haven't seen her in anything recently, though.
I've seen still shots of her from the Twilight Saga.
Oh, she had
where that? She was, yeah. She also did, was it like War of the Worlds in that? She was a little bit older in that one. And,
stupid kid made me cry all the way through. I am.
What was the one with Chris Evans where he had like telekinesis?
Oh, Jumpers.
No, that was Anakin Skywalker.
Oh,
Push. I think you're talking.
Yeah, Push.
About. I actually didn't mind that movie.
It was Chris Evans and Dakota Fanning were telekinetics. Oh, it was the same movie as Jumper, except instead of teleportation, they had telekinesis.
Oh, okay.
She had a different ability, though.
Well, she had a different mutant power. Chris Evans was Nightcrawler. Chris Evans was Jean Grey.
Oh, getting back to the family
anyway,
man.
Yeah.
Almost called the family guy. That's a different thing.
Yeah, that's another topic.
Yeah, so the kid knows, and she's like, ha, I'm going to, like, teach you all about our family.
She thinks he's an alien, though. That kid was funny, though.
I just like the fact that his kid is, like, peeing on him, like, when he's trying to change the diaper for the first time.
Yep. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is why I'm having a girl.
Yeah, but you can still get peed on.
Oh, no, I know it can happen. It's much harder. Like, there's no direct line of fire going on. Let's put it that way.
That's funny.
I'm surprised he didn't do one of his patented Nicolas Cage yelling fits when he was peeing on him.
Yeah.
By the way, there was only...
He had the expression of it. He had the, like, look on his face like he was going to.
Yeah.
And then Nicolas Cage realized he was filming a scene with children in it. Like, it was like Nicolas Cage going, I am going to go into cursing, shouting Nicolas Cage mode. Oh, wait, there are kids here. I can't curse. Like...
He only yelled 3 times in this movie.
I wasn't counting.
I decided to because it's Nicolas Cage.
It's got
to
be one of those counts that you guys have, like, going on. Like, okay, how many Nick Cage yellings happened in this movie?
Track of that.
Yeah, because he's known for it.
That's funny. No, I just like the fact that, you know what, it was a kind of a good heartwarming movie where he's getting used, like, getting pretty much to relearn and then having what he's missed. I mean...
It's true. I mean, everybody sort of enjoys that what-if kind of storyline and...
We got to figure that's when he runs into Cheeto again. This time was what, Bag of Salt?
Yeah.
And then he runs about the John Cheadle's character now is owning a store, and he's like, I guess Nicolas Cage is like, oh, you can't take them away from me, type of thing.
Yeah, and that's the idea, right? Because Cheadle had said, like, it's only going to be temporary. Like,
they glitch.
Like, this is just a look in at the other side.
Yeah.
And then
he goes.
So, yeah, and he does, and he wants it. Because you have to imagine, like, that's the kind of person that everybody always wants what could have happened.
Yeah.
So everybody always thinks, oh, well, what happens if this went this one way? Like, I mean, everybody has those moments. I mean, if I had gone to Korea 3 months earlier, I wouldn't be married to my wife and be having my first baby right now. So, like, there's always these moments in time that can just completely shape your life.
Yeah. Well, the ending part was kind of weird, so, like, my thing is, okay, another thing that kind of breaks down, why is she calling 13 years to say, oh, here's a box of stuff?
Because she was moving.
Why was she
moving
still...
overseas, wasn't she?
But, like, why would she still have it, though?
Paris. I just, that was my thing. Like, 13 years, you think she hasn't moved since then?
Yeah, but if you live in the same house for 13 years, and it's just a box of stuff in the bed, like... Even if you move, as somebody who's moved recently, you can respect the fact that there might just be a box that you just grab because you're moving everything else and just ends up in the basement, even if you move. Because if it's unmarked and it just ended up in a pile of stuff, where when you're getting ready to go overseas, that's the point at which you're like, okay, I actually have to trim all this stuff down because it's probably going to family member's house or it's going into storage where you don't have as much room, and you're like, okay, I need to see what I'm actually going to keep here.
Yeah.
So I can buy that she would find his stuff, like, 13 years later.
Yeah, I guess. Way to ruin my hole in my...
I know people. I can understand people.
Not true. I mean, but him shouting, like, expecting her to stay.
Oh, yeah, no, that's crazy Nick Cage at the airport, and,
Cheadle should have shown up to talk to her, is what I think.
No.
I think that would have ruined the movie, I mean, what it was supposed to be about, but then him talking about the kids. We have 2 kids, we have...
Wouldn't she just thought he was nuts, though?
Mm-hmm, but she could still realize that he is very, very rich, and be like, you know what, I did love you once. And now you have a lot more money. I'm willing to have a cup of coffee with you. I can fly to Paris later.
That's funny.
But she was a big corporate lawyer at the same time, right? So again,
was
you
she a lawyer?
She was.
Is that what
because
she was?
That was the thing in the alternate timeline. She was like a public defender. Like she was very low paid.
Yeah.
Whereas because of the regular timeline when they split up, she went on to become a very successful corporate lawyer. They both went into lives of heavy business.
Okay.
So I think the idea that you're looking at is she could be having the same kind of regrets. Okay. So she's willing to listen to him.
I was laughing at the scenes with the neighbor who was flirting with him.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, so if you would just write down her exact address, that I laugh.
And then with Jeremy Piven, is like, what?
No, overall, I mean, a very straightforward movie, but, I mean, pretty well done. Yeah,
definitely better than Trapped in Paradise.
Okay. Well, let's not jump the gun yet there, sir.
So, what's your ratings?
I just wrote mine down, so you start.
I'd give it a 3 poopy diapers out of 5.
right. I'm giving it 4 out of 5 Tia Leone shower scenes.
Oh,
okay. Damn it. Why did I think
I'm going to give it 3 Don Cheadles and a Mercedes out of 5. So
nice.
Nice. So it wasn't that bad.
No, it was... I gave it a 3 out of 5 because it was... I still watched... Like, put it this way. I watched it without pausing it.
Oh,
or fast-forwarding any scene.
There you go.
Really? You got through the Taya Leone scene without pausing it at all.
Well, I had to rewind that one a couple times. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Do you think there was any body doubles with that, though?
I don't know.
Don't take that away from me.
Yeah, why are you taking this away from me, right?
Why you gotta harsh that, man?
Oh, that's funny.
No, it was all right.
Yeah.
So
damn it, why didn't I think of the 5 shower scenes out of 5?
I was like, oh, man, no, the shower scene's totally my rating. Man, now I gotta come up with something on the fly because Jay is...
Well, I was sitting here, I just realized I haven't rated either one of these movies yet. Maybe I should. Anyhow, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, not going to say I'm blaming Ryan.
See you guys on the next episode.
All right, we'll be right back.
Stay tuned, loyal listeners. There's more We Got the Geek still to come.
Face front, true believers. John Ballmer is an independent artist and illustrator. He has contributed to several indie comics published by Alterna Comics and more, and is able to draw in many styles and genres. John also does commission work in sizes ranging from 3 by 5 inches to 11 by 17 inches and even larger. Add some original art to your personal collection or surprise someone with a drawing just for them. Check out his work at drawnbyjohn.com and his Facebook group, Drawn by John, The Art of John J. J.C. Ballmer.
I'm robbing a bank!
It's across the street.
Breaking in the bank.
On Christmas Eve. It doesn't seem right.
Trying to pull a heist.
Who's got the key? Raise your hand.
Oh.
There's just no way to steal.
Or less as I start going, you idiot!
From people this dark night.
Why don't you come join my family for Christmas dinner?
Dinner's on the stove.
Smells good.
Wait till you see the giblet gravy.
Mom is on her way.
You guys are dumber than a box of hair.
They're out to put the money back and save this holiday.
20th Century Fox presents the story of a town so nice.
Do you need any money?
Now, we've taken more than I share already.
It's turning 3 wise guys into 3 wise men.
I'm going to put the money back.
You are going to be the first guy in history to get pinched for putting money back.
No!
Trapped in paradise.
You don't aggravate the old witch.
I wish I was a witch. I'd shove my broomstick right up your...
Ma!
All right, welcome back to Cage Match with Jay, Stu, Ryan, and Hunter. And as much as we liked the last movie, I think, Trapped in Paradise, 1994, the 20th anniversary.
I number one, I still can't believe it was that long ago. And when I watched it last, I must have had a totally different thought of what the movie is compared to what we watched it again.
Were you drunk?
You know what? I don't know. I thought I enjoyed it.
And not actually watching it.
So, it's Trapped in Paradise with Nick Cage, Dana Carvey, and John Lovitz. Some of it was filmed in St. Catharines.
Yep.
I remember my friend John and I trying to sneak onto the set at Ridley College. It was nighttime. But the cops had blocked off all the side streets and stuff like that. And then I never saw the movie. In fact, you're the only one in this room that had seen it before this week.
Well, no, Hunter didn't.
I've seen pieces of it.
Oh, okay.
I'm pretty sure I've turned off every single time or changed the channel any time that I had ever seen this movie come on.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got an
because
angry...
Because this is the steamiest pile. Like, this is a steaming pile.
We got an angry Facebook message from Hunter the other day.
Oh, man. I am 5 minutes into this crap fest, and I am not, like, I can't finish it, blah, blah, blah. Oh, man, I was so mad. I was like... Do I come up with a reason to not record the show? Like,
well, I'm not going to lie. I kind of was playing Minecraft at the same time. Just, I literally got the gist of the movie just by still playing Minecraft. Like,
I couldn't get past Dana Carvey's stupid voice.
Oh, my God.
His annoying voice.
Well, and this is what Jay and I were talking about on the way over. I'm like, I had to go back to Dana Carvey's IMDb. I don't think, other than, like, the first Wayne's World... There is not a Dana Carvey movie I like.
Yeah.
He is not good on film. Like, if you look at the trash that he has put out...
Yeah.
Master of Disguise being well at the top of that list.
The only thing I remember from that is, like, turtle. Like... Yeah.
No. Data was farting a lot in that movie. That was his shtick.
But, yeah. No, that movie was, like... And that's the thing. Like, Dana Carvey has not put out good movies.
Yeah.
I also don't like John Lovitz in movies. I don't like John Lovitz in general most of the time.
No.
In small doses, I've been able to handle him, but... No, like... So, you have Nicolas Cage and two people who should not be making movies.
At least not play as brothers. Like, the movie starts off where a wallet's dropped, and then you eventually find Nicolas Cage picks it up, and then he sees probably, $1,000, give or take.
Yeah.
And then I guess he has a dilemma, and then it fast-forwards to a scene where he goes into a church. So I guess he's having, like, a good shtick, like, where he's trying to be good.
Yeah, like, the movie starts with John Lovitz and Dana Carvey being released from prison to their brother's custody.
Yes.
Because the prisons are full, not because they're out on good behavior or anything. Like, the prisons are full, and, like, the first thing they want to do is rob a bank.
Well... Dana's character steals that pin or whatever.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, these are... And Nick Cage's character, even in the movie, is like, I don't trust you guys, you're pathological liars. Well, they are also apparently kleptomaniacs.
Yeah.
Send them back! They're on parole! All you do is say, hey, look, they're still stealing. Movie over. Hunter's happy. It was a great, like, 5-minute short showing, like, Nicolas Cage being a smart character... Who sends people that are committing crimes back to prison. He's a superhero. Sends more people to prison that way than Ghost Rider would have.
Well, you gotta figure that would have been a good point if he did turn his brothers in when the lady saw him put the money back.
Yeah.
And then he goes out, and then the cops are there.
Yeah. So... But,
I don't know, I just don't think they were a good fit. I think
they end up in Niagara-on-the-Lake, and they rob a bank. And then they change their mind when they can't. Like, the overall premise is this. These three people rob a bank, try and leave town, can't, and then decide they're going to give the money back.
And they keep running into the people they robbed.
Yes.
Because they brought them into the home.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
And there's two bad deputies chasing them around. One of them's John Ashton from Beverly Hills Cop.
And then you got to figure the criminals from the prison... That's how the brothers knew about how to rob the bank.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, there's more pieces, but there's not more story. Like, that's the story, is we robbed a bank, oops, we changed our minds, let's give it back.
And then the townspeople don't hand him into the...
Oh, I couldn't get over that.
It's Christmas.
Because this entire movie is filled with dumb people who do not turn people over to the cops when they should. This entire town deserves to be robbed. I bet this happens every week. I bet this is how this town gets, like, instead of, like, county fairs and things like that, they just release media that says our bank is super easy to rob. People come and rob it, give the money back, and then sometimes those people stay and are absorbed into this, like, Village of the Damned-style community. And that's all that this town has to get its kicks.
That's funny.
That would have been a better movie.
I started watching the movie with the subtext that they knew it was them the whole time. Like that nobody could be that dumb that they didn't realize it was the bank robbers. And if you watch that movie and you're like, yeah, they know exactly who you guys are, it takes on a whole different... That's the only way that movie got watchable.
That's funny.
Did you end up watching the whole thing?
No.
I did fast forward through a lot of parts.
Well, there's no shower scenes in this one.
No, unfortunately.
Oh, thank God, because none of those characters should ever have been in a shower scene.
The only one, maybe, is Machinamic.
Yeah, well.
But she looked totally different than we remember.
She looked a lot like, I don't know, just she was in the Witches of...
Eastwick?
No, East End.
Oh, East End,
No, it was sad. When I started going through her IMDb, I know her from two shitty shows. The first being the Friends spinoff, Joey. And the second, there was a Christian Slater show on about 4 years ago called My Own Worst Enemy.
Well, she's been on Mad Men, Ringer, Drop Dead Diva.
Who was she on Mad Men?
Just played a mystery, a date.
Oh.
She wasn't like a main character, just like
Okay, because I was going to say, I didn't remember her from Mad Men. I think I would have.
She's on Californication.
Never.
Gossip Girl.
That's a David Duchovny show.
Right. Yeah. Right. Speaking of which, she was married to Tia Leone.
She sure was. Well,
Was or they divorced?
I have no idea.
I don't know.
I don't think anybody could stay with David Duchovny that long.
I heard he was actually with Scully now.
Weird.
What? That is weird.
Anyhow.
At any rate.
That's not the gossip.
No, this movie, like, oh my god.
It was pretty bad. And then the ending where he ends up staying.
Like I said, this community just absorbs some of these people, like Village of the Damned.
I'm surprised the mother and the brothers
didn't stay. Like Invasion of the Body Snatchers. No, the brothers and mother leave town, immediately try and rob the first convenience store they come across, and are then, I'm assuming, captured by the competent police officers two towns over.
Yeah.
Because there's no way they didn't attempt to rob something else immediately after.
Well, he stole all those candy cane pens.
Oh, jeez. I'm sorry, those characters didn't really seem to fit the role.
You know what?
Well, it's not fleshed out. Like, one, the casting's terrible because you have Nick Cage, John Lovitz, and Dana Carvey, and you think we can buy that they're a family?
No, it's a shame. I find Dana Carvey funny, but...
He's funny, just that, I don't know.
So, it does, and I told you guys, it's a 10% rating from Rotten Tomatoes. Roger Ebert said about this movie, "It should be preserved by the Library of Congress as an example of creative desperation. It plays like a documentary about a group of actors forced to perform a screenplay that contains not one single laugh, moment of wit, or flash of intelligence."
Wow.
He gave it 0.5 out of...
Oh.
0.5.
Yeah.
I read on IMDb that the actors hated filming it, too.
Yeah, John Lovitz has said, like, it was apparently atrocious to film, that everybody hated each other.
Wow.
So no Trapped in Paradise 2?
Oh, good God. No, honestly, I'd probably give it, like, one horse sleigh stuck in water out of 5.
I will give it one car going over a, like, over the rails, or off the rails, and into a ditch.
Oh, poor Merlin the horse, by the way.
Okay.
I'm giving it 1 out of 5 Dana Carvey lungs filled with water.
Oh, no, I want to picture Dana Carvey dying.
Oh, he almost did.
No, I know. I just want to picture it again.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, man. So Trapped in Paradise. Thank you, sir.
I probably won't watch it again.
Ever.
I was going to say, if you want to make like a different movie, you do, like, The Family Man Trapped in Paradise, and do, like, hey, Don Cheadle wants to make Nick Cage really love his life as a super rich, like, investment banker. So, temporarily puts him in a reality where he has to help Dana Carvey and John Lovitz rob a bank. And by the end of it, he's like, yeah, no, I'm okay being super rich. I don't need family.
Nice.
So, I think we decided that next time out, Gone in 60 Seconds will be one of them.
For sure. What else we should do? Maybe Face Off.
Face Off. Get the good ones back.
Yeah, we might as well try to do that.
Get the bad ones that taste out of our mouth.
Yeah. So yeah, Gone in 60 Seconds, Face Off will be our next one.
All right.
There you go. You got some more action-y ones. He does, and he does do better in the more action.
That's what we thought,
kind of
too.
Roles, right? Like, he doesn't have the sincerity half the time to be, like, the romantic lead. Like, he feels like he has this expression on his face half the time where it's either the Joker or a sick, injured puppy. Like, the looks on his face, like, just these crushed, emotion-filled expressions, or just him bug-eyed, mouth open, like, mugging for the camera as he shouts.
Oh, by the way, the yelling toll in this one was 4 Nick Cage yells.
Yes. Alrighty.
Alright, so that's all we have to say about Trapped in Paradise and Family Man. So thanks, Hunter, for being our first guest on the segment.
I don't know if I can thank you guys. No, thank you for having me. I look forward to hearing other people talk about the good Nick Cage movies and coming back and talking about the terrible ones.
And yes, Hunter and I are in the same room.
No, I'm remoting in.
From
remoting in from.
I should mention this is the first time on at least we got the geek that Hunter and Ryan are in the same room.
Not the first attempt, though.
Not the first attempt. There's been several.
Hopefully, there will be many more.
Yes.
All right. Well, that's it for Cage Match. We'll see you next month with our next installment.
Thanks for listening. To hear more We Got the Geek, check us out at www.wegotthegeek.com and on iTunes.